Hello, this is a football fans podcast from the people behind CelticUnderground.net. This week's podcast features Hull boy, Kieran Tierney, Chris Davis and Olivier Ncham. Has been made, and we've got a group of PSG, Bayern Munich and electing ourselves, or should I say Bayern Munich, PSG and electing ourselves, and I think we should be looking at trying to get third place, as you'll hear me say in the podcast, and let's hope we can. Astana was a freak set of circumstances. We got through, and Rosenborg tonight, getting past Ajax, have proved that getting past them was no easy task. Anyway, we're still looking for your cover versions at Songs With Great Intros and New Music. As I said last week, I'm doing the same this week. I'm trying to record the podcast quickly, so I don't quite know what is going to be lying underneath this and put at the end, but I'll give you links on the website. Enough of me. I'm going to pass you over, first of all, to Chris Davis, and then it'll be Hallboy, then it'll be Katie and Olivier, and speak to you later.
What do you make of it, Chris?
Yeah, I think it was good to see the draw. You know, I think we're happy with that. You know, we've got two massive challenges there, obviously in Bayern and PSG, and obviously Anderlecht, who, you know, are a team we can probably look at and look to exploit as well, you know. I think it's a strong group, they're all strong groups. I think before you sort of go too far into analysing each team, I think it's good to take a step back for everybody, and I certainly have done myself in the last 48 hours of what a big job it is qualifying here. It's a big journey that you have to go on to qualify. It's great for the city of Glasgow, it's great for the country, Scottish football, and I think massive credit should go to the players and the manager for qualifying, and I never think it should be taken for granted, because what you have to do in pre-season is go up against very good teams who are in season, think of Rosenborg, teams like that, and you have to go and produce, and I think we didn't concede a goal up until the last qualifier away there, and we performed really well in certain games. So I think that's the first point that I'd make on behalf of to myself, but for everyone, is that qualifying for Celtic is really good, because it takes obviously this club where it wants to be, but it's not an easy process. So 2 years on the road, we're in there now, and obviously if you look at the teams we've got, then it's really exciting, and that's the feeling that hopefully the fans have got as well. You know, there's going to be some really, really special nights here. I read something earlier about, I think it was Buffon talking about the electric atmosphere at Celtic Park, and you know, there's no better place in the world you'd rather be when that flag's getting waved on the centre circle and the fans are making the noise, and it's a fantastic place to be on Champions League nights. And so the teams coming here, I think on their side as well, will know that we'll pose a big threat to them as well at home, because the record that Celtic have in Champions League at home is really strong. So yeah, the feeling, I think straight away the names come out is excitement, and looking forward to the games.
The top two teams in particular, Robert Lewandowski for Bayern Munich,
yeah,
Neymar for PSG,
yeah.
That's going to test your defence,
yeah, isn't it? They're top players, so we know that. We have to be aware. We played against it last year. We drew three of the games in the league in the group stage, and performed well towards the end of that group stage. You know, and if we want to be in a position where we're in Europe after Christmas, then obviously our home form is going to be really important, and we're going to have to show the qualities that we can deal with players of that level. And there's no question that we brought a really high level to, for example, Rosenborg away. We played like a Champions League team. We went away from home. You see they beat Ajax away from home. We went there, we dominated possession, we created chances, and we were really solid in our play. And I think that's the sort of level that we're going to need to bring to these games. But like I say, I think it is really important that we enjoy this now and look forward to it, and remember that for Scottish football and for the city and everything, it's a really exciting time.
On the paper, Chris, it kind of looks like a scrap for third place already. Is it important that you guys don't look at it like that? And
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, I think it's, as I referred to earlier, everyone can see clearly that Anderlecht would be the 13 where they're in pot three, and I don't think that the seedings are too far off, to be honest with you, and they're in pot three. Obviously, they would probably look at us in the same way. But what we'll say is, with what we can deliver, especially at home, then we'll certainly go into games, and the way the manager prepares the team, we'll certainly go into games confident that we can get results. We're certainly not there in any way, shape or form to resign ourselves to fighting for third place. That's not what you do at a club like this, and that's just not how Brendan works. He will have the players working and believing that we can get results, and we'll see what happens.
Have you had a chance just in the intervening seconds there to exchange a message or anything with the man?
No, I haven't spoke to him, but he'll be excited. I mean, obviously he's been, Brendan has been in the Champions League as a manager now. This will be his third season out of the last four seasons, which also should be remembered as well. That's something that, as a UK manager, there's not too many that have had that exposure in the last several years, barring probably Sir Alex Ferguson. Brendan's in there again, and he's got experience, although he's a young manager, he's got experience in European football, so that's great for this club as well.
How much more confident are you this year of getting football past the European football past Christmas than maybe this time last?
Probably. I mean, we've gone through the qualifiers, we've not conceded a goal up until the other night. We're in a better place than we were last year, and I'm confident that we can be in Europe after Christmas, and that's obviously the target. Obviously the ultimate dream for us is, can we qualify out of the group into the last 16? But of course, being in Europe after Christmas would be a fantastic achievement for us, and I'm certainly confident we can do that.
You mentioned before about the big nights at Celtic Park. Is that going to be key to progression or not out this?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the home form is going to be, you look at it and, can you pick points up at home? Like I say, what gives me great belief as well is how we performed in a Rosenborg away from home, what we did there and how we played there. And nothing should be looked too far into what happened in Astana when you're talking about a team that puts complete risk into a game. With absolutely nothing to lose, what happens is they generally create moments and chances, and they concede chances as well. And obviously, if you don't take the chances that they open up to you, then it might become like a freak game where their risk ends up paying off. So there was nothing more to be read into that game. Like I say, we've been defensively very strong. We only conceded one goal domestically. I think last qualifying we conceded seven goals. This qualifying we conceded four, so we're better defensively, we're better going forward, we're a better team, we're a better group of players collectively, and we've got a better idea of how the manager wants a team to play. So I certainly feel that we're in a better place than we were going into last season's Champions League.
And what did you learn from last season's campaign that you can take into this one?
I think it's, the manager spoke as the group went on last year, spoke about wanting the players to show that personality, as he would refer to it, and that belief in the games, and go and play and dominate in the way that we know we can, defensively when we're press teams, we've generally been quite successful, but of course you have to be tactically astute in games where you can't just chase the ball, so you have to be solid defensively. But certainly when we showed that personality in possession, when we got more comfortable and started to be ourselves more, then we looked a better team. And actually I think if it had gone on, we were getting better and better. So yeah, there's been some lessons learned, but like I say, it really is great that we're in there, and now we can look forward to the games.
You've got obviously some injuries in defence at the moment, and I guess in attack as well. Do you feel that there needs to be investment to try and get out this group, if you want, before the end of next week? Is that the plan?
Well, we've obviously got three defenders. Our three first choice central defenders have been injured, which isn't been ideal timing for such crucial games, but no, I think the squad's coming together quite well. You know, and any final things that we're going to be doing will happen in due course, but we've got a good squad together now. Like I say, injuries coming back, some other players, attacking players coming back from injury as well, so that will add to our squad and give us more depth as well, which we're going to need during the next several months.
So I'm now joined by Hullboy. How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, Harry.
So we're recording this just a couple of hours after the Champions League draw. So what's your initial thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just a great day, you know, when we have the draw and we know that we're in that kind of group stage phase. So I think for me, you know, three big clubs, Bayern and Anderlecht and PSG. So I think for me, you know, there's some interesting ties there. And I think if you speak to a lot of Celtic supporters, you know, they've wanted to avoid teams like Barcelona. Not because Barcelona are a decent team, but just simply because we've played those teams before, you know. And it's quite a while since we've played these three teams, so I think that's good.
Yeah, I did think it was interesting last week or this week or whenever it was on Twitter. Tom English said Celtic will be looking to avoid Barcelona because they've had them a few times. This time last year, when I tweeted immediately after the draw, not Barcelona again, Tom English had a go at me for, you know, you should just be thankful we'll be in the Champions League.
He should think about obtaining a better memory then.
Yes, I did think there was a lot of chat beforehand about who would you want, and when you looked at it, because of the new system of countries from the top eight,
yep,
or the top eight ranked countries, champions were, yep, were pot one.
Yep.
So you had Spartak Moscow with less than half our coefficient points in pot one.
18 point something, that's an incredibly low coefficient.
Yeah. But it then meant that pot two was actually packed full of teams that, yep, you would have just assumed were pot one teams.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I didn't, yep, think that actually the chances of getting a group that you would go, oh, that's not bad, were pretty remote.
And the other thing for me as well was with the number of English teams in, I was thinking yesterday, you know, that we would probably get an English team. So in that sense, I'm actually quite pleased that we haven't got an English team.
You know how it was one of my mates who's a Rangers fan actually sent me a text, because you know how the Russians and the Ukrainians couldn't play each other?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
My mate who's a Rangers fan sent me a text.
You have to make it up as they go along.
He sent me a text saying, could we not just ask that Celtic don't get to play teams in the north of Ireland and Rangers don't get to play teams in the south of Ireland and then avoids any fine? if you're allowed to do that type of thing.
Yeah. So, well, he should be looking to make sure that his team doesn't play any of the fourth best teams in Luxembourg.
I thought you were going to say in the Iron Brew Cup or whatever it's called. He doesn't play a Southern Irish team. So one thing that I thought, not just for the fans but for the team, there's no real travel problems. I mean, what's the longest flight, 2 hours or something?
Yep. No, I think that's pretty good. I think that's good for the players and the supporters as well. And you can guarantee that all three of those away games, the Celtic spot will be absolutely huge and outstrip the amount of tickets that are available by literally thousands.
Yeah, the Bayern game away is in the middle of the October week school holidays as well.
Yeah.
I reckon the criteria for that will be that you've had to have been to every away European game since 1982, been to every Glasgow Cup final, be on the home ticket scheme. I think it'll be pretty difficult to get a ticket for that.
Yeah.
So,
and people will want to go to Paris. I mean, I remember going in the 90s, and the place was just absolutely mobbed with Celtic supporters.
So so you've been to Paris. Have you been to Munich or Anderlecht?
No, I've not been to either of those.
I was at Anderlecht.
In 2003,
I remember being raging at that game. It was very disorganised outside, and we got our tickets off somebody that had VIP on it. There was four of us there. Two of us had VIP tickets and two didn't, and it was quite chaotic outside.
We
asked the steward where to go and hadn't paid attention to the fact that it said VIP on our ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly the steward, it was like the part of the Red Sea, suddenly the stewards were taking us all the way through and just kept saying VIP, VIP, VIP. So two of us had decent seats for that game and two of us didn't. But I remember being raging because they went down to 10 men.
Yeah, that's right.
And leaving the ground, I remember we were discussing that maybe if we could get somebody to buy Petrov, we should sell Petrov and build our team around Liam Miller.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that was that season, wasn't it? He was coming onto a game back then, and then he forgot who he was and got greedy.
I often think, if I was an agent, would I use Liam Miller if I thought my player should stick around at a club like Celtic for maybe just a wee bit longer? Would you use Liam Miller if you knew about him as an example of... If he'd have stayed at us for 12 months of first team football, because it was really like 6 months of first team football.
Yeah, worst decision ever.
Yeah, but never mind. So, what's your prediction then for how we're going to get on?
Well, I think there's a natural tendency in these things to say, okay, we're a pot four team, therefore, who do we perceive to be the next weakest team in the group, and can we get more points than that team? And I don't know. I'm just I'm glass half full guy anyway, but I just think with Brendan, with the European nights that we have at Celtic Park, I just feel that we can actually get, a pretty good run at home, and maybe get something from the away games. So, I'd still push on to see if we can qualify for the last 16.
I do find it interesting that our final game.
Yep.
Is it home to Anderlecht?
Anderlecht, yeah, absolutely.
I think that's exactly what we'd be looking for. If we want to be in a chance of third or second, that's the game you would want at home. That's the game you would want.
I think the games fall quite nicely in that sense. The back-to-back is Bayern Munich, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, again, if we can get something from the home game out of that... he could just be kind of stealing a few points at the expense of others, and it depends, as is always the way, what's going to happen in the two games between Bayern and PSG. If they end up being draws, then all of that kind of helps Celtic a little bit.
Yeah, one of the key things is also that the second game is away to Anderlecht. And I think, even if we've got ambitions to do something in the Europa League, to finish third and do something in the Europa League, get through at least the next two rounds of the Europa League, Anderlecht to the standard of team that we need to be able to think we've got a chance of going and not just drawing over there, but winning.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me as well, what we're learning from what we're seeing in Europe under Brendan is that it's interesting that you were recalling the Anderlecht game when they went down to 10 men. You know, back in those days when we were going to away games, Celtic's possession stat was usually quite low,
yep,
regardless of the opposition. And I think that's something that Brendan's completely turned around. So, you know, we're playing in European games now where, you know, we're kind of maybe touching on 65% possession against relatively decent teams. So there's no reason why we can't do that against Anderlecht.
We went to Rosenborg and controlled the game and won 1-0.
Exactly.
And as we are speaking just now, Rosenborg are
2-0 up against Ajax, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
So they're going through against last year's Europa League finalists.
Yeah, exactly.
We can touch on the Astana game away in a wee minute.
Mm.
But even so, Chris Davis made a valid point today. They went for it and they got some chances. We were playing with no centre-halves. And we scored three goals. And I remember, as I say, we'll get back to this, but I remember sending a text to someone when Sinclair scored saying, well, surely that's it. Sinclair could have had a hat-trick already.
Mm.
So, you know, that's a different game and unique set of circumstances. But we drew in Manchester and we drew in Germany last year.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That under Brendan, regardless of the result, the way in which we've, you know, obviously I think everybody agrees that he maybe got the tactics wrong against Barcelona. But essentially, apart from that, the team is set out in a different way and it's got enough creativity in it to be able to score goals away from home.
So we start off against PSG, and I know their team's going to have cost whatever it is, somewhere upwards of 500 million quid.
Mm.
So it's a wee bit more than us.
Mm.
But I genuinely think if we could get a point at home in that game and win an Anderlecht, you're changing your outlook from finishing third to possibly finishing second.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what I'm saying, as the way the group will go and the expected competition between Bayern and PSG may mean that they just cancel each other out in those two games.
Yeah, they could well do. And
so it doesn't take much. I know we're getting very optimistic now before our ball's kicked, but it doesn't take much that if you are pushed through results into second, it's not much of a step to then be in first place.
I mean, I know it's these sequence of results are unlikely, right?
Mm.
But if we could get a draw with PSG and win in Belgium, and then get even just 1 point out of the double header against Bayern, we'd be sitting on 5 points.
Exactly.
We then win our last game at home to Anderlecht and we're at 8 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not impossible to qualify on 8 points.
No, exactly. Exactly. So, but yeah, we'll just have to see as the games come along, but we should be confident again about Celtic at home in the Champions League, you know, with the atmosphere and the team that we've got. And I think if we do bring in Paddy Roberts, as seems likely, you know, and some of the other players who've been injured in the qualifying rounds start to make a reappearance. We've got a reasonably strong squad for every game as well.
So you just mentioned Paddy Roberts there. Do you think? I mean, obviously we're hopeful that Musa will be fit.
Yeah.
within the next couple of weeks, and Boyata will be fit within the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
So that would give us our two main strikers in Griffiths and Musa.
Yep.
Give us our two main centre-halves in Boyata and Simonovic. Do you think we need to sign anybody else other than Paddy Roberts in the next week?
Possibly not if everybody's fit. I think the only worry is, you know, the ability of Beata and Simonovic to stay fit. That's the issue for me. But I think if we do bring in Paddy Roberts and everybody else is fit, for me, I think that's probably enough. Because you've got to remember, he's a little bit further away, but, you know, we've got Ebuyi Kouassi. Ben Yu looks decent player. And obviously some of the youngsters that have come in have done very well as well.
Okay, so that then takes us back to the game that qualified us for the Champions League group stages. So I left Celtic Park 10 days ago, or a week and a half, 8 days ago, saying to people, isn't it fantastic that finally we have a Champions League qualifier that will not be gut-wrenching? How are you on Tuesday night?
I'll be honest, I wasn't too bad, actually. And I could see, kind of, on Twitter and elsewhere, you know, people were getting very, very edgy and what have you. But I just felt that there was still too much for Astana to do, and that Celtic had enough about them. I think there might have been one moment where Astana had another chance, that's right, and the guy blasted it over the bar.
Yep.
And I thought if that had gone in, then, you know, I might have felt slightly different, because there was still quite a bit of time to go. But, you know, at the end of the day, once Sinclair had scored to win the game, they needed to get seven, and the game couldn't go to extra time by that time.
Yep.
So, for me, you know, kind of, maybe it's me being my numbers person, I just thought, you know, there's too much for them to do to win that tie. You know, and even if it had finished up, you know, kind of 6-5 or something like that, or even 6-6, and Celtic went through on the away goals. You know, I mean, obviously, if the score was like that with 4 or 5 minutes to go, we would have been nervy. But I think, again, once we just went through that really bad 10-minute spell, didn't we, at the start of the second half. It was just bizarre, because it was bizarre in the sense that I don't think we've seen that in a Brendan Rodgers team since he came, really. You know, and you couldn't work out whether it was a bit of a mini capitulation because of nerves, or whether it was just slack play, you know. So,
I mean, that was the thing that got me, that made me start thinking, this is, in terms of mentality, either, as you say, either the mentality was they were blasé, or the mentality was that the nerves were getting to them. But in terms of mentality, I was sitting there watching, thinking, I think this is the worst performance under Brendan.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was the worst performance. I think it was the worst period.
Yeah.
Because actually, if you take the first half, we pretty much controlled the first half. I know they went ahead, but, you know, I mean, the equaliser was well deserved for Celtic. Because we dominated possession in that half.
I think what was frustrating me, even in the first half, was just slack passing.
Yeah.
You know, under no pressure, giving the ball away. There was a chance they had.
But you don't know whether that was down to the artificial surface. I think the other thing for me as well was speculating as to whether it was nerves. I think once Astana came out and scored in the second half, I kind of just sensed that Beaton seemed just drained of confidence.
Yeah.
In that position, and there was in that period, and that's why they scored. You know, he was really all over the place, and I guess what you didn't have was you didn't have that kind of like more experienced central defensive partner who could actually get him through that rough period, because with Christopher Ayew playing, you know, he was struggling a bit at that time.
Well, as somebody said to me at the beginning of the season, I'd asked someone at Celtic about Christopher Ayew being whether he was good enough to be a third stroke fourth choice centre back, and they said, well, don't forget he's a midfielder who stuck his hand up when he realised that Celtic were overloaded with midfielders.
Yeah.
And said, I'll go centre half.
Yeah.
And he's been centre half for 11 months. He's 10 months, he's learning his trade.
Yeah.
And so he needs, and this person said, so he needs another 12 months at least a centre half.
Yeah.
Well,
I think the thing for me as well is that I mean, obviously we got goals back, which, you know, made it in the end, you know, I mean, I think that's a comfortable victory really. But I think and Cham just came back onto the game, and he started to get control of the ball in the midfield.
Yeah.
Plus, the other thing is, I don't think, you know, I've said it before on these podcasts that when Brendan and Chris Davis see a problem, they're really, really quick to kind of do something from the bench in terms of resolving that problem. And they did that on Tuesday again, you know, which is quite heartening, really.
Yeah, and that's why you do have confidence. It's a bit like under Martin O'Neill. There's a part of you thinking, when things are going wrong, there's a part of you thinking Martin will be able to fix it. I mean, he didn't always. I remember watching Valencia, Rosenberg, Porto and Rosenberg from behind the sofa, you know, with my fingers over my eyes, away from home. So it wasn't always possible that Martin fixed it, but he just felt he would. And you have the same sensation with Brendan.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, credit to him, you know, to bring somebody like Ralston on, because a lot of people would say, well, you know, what are you bringing a youngster on for at this time? You know, you need kind of like old heads, really. But I think that was a good substitution.
I think what, getting back to your point about the Beaton thing, was the fact that they scored also two goals in a minute.
Yeah.
Straight after half time, rattled me to the point where scoring two goals in a minute, I'd seen some slack passing, and I thought to myself, no, I can't watch this. My wee boy was going to somewhere, my wife was going to take him, and I said, no, I'll take him. And then he was getting ready, stuck my head back in the door, and it was 4-1. And I stuck my head back in the door at 4-1 just to see that chance where the guy blasted over the bar.
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck this, I'm out.
As I said, that if that had gone in, then, you know, maybe even with me, some of the panic button might have been pressed. But up until that point, no, I was. I think the other thing for me was the Griffiths miss. When he blasted it with his right foot, because he should have scored that, and that if he'd scored that, then that would have taken all the pressure off.
Absolutely, it would have just, their crowd were going nuts, their team were up for it. Exactly. We're a bit shaken.
Yep.
And it was just deflated everything. Well, as happened when Cham's goal went in.
Yep.
It just takes the wind right out of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but you know, I feel, over the two legs, you know, Celtic played sufficiently well to, kind of have that margin of victory, really.
One question I do have for you is about Incham, because it appears that 99.99999% of the people I read online think he's a brilliant player. And one
it's
person
too something's, early.
Something's on our podcast is saying the jury's still out.
It's too early.
Yes. He
knows who he is.
He does, he does. Well, it's good to be prudent and cautious.
Yeah, it's not too early. That guy is a player. You can actually see it. You don't need to be watching him for very long. You're not looking at somebody who's just having a kind of a world class performance in one 90-minute game. He's very, very good.
He is exceptional, and you can see he's got the strength to hold people off.
Yeah.
And he's only going to develop. And I've seen people comparing him to Wanyama. And the one thing that Celtic fans forget, Victor Wanyama was not a first-team regular inside his first 6-7 months.
No. No. He does have some similarities with Wanyama, but he's got more creativity. And he's clearly thinking through situations in different ways to Wanyama in terms of ball retention and relieving the pressure. So he's quite, I mean, we've already seen it in games, he's quite happy to have opposition players come to him, and he will spin out of that situation still with the ball, whereas Wanyama would look to move the ball on to another player. And you've got to remember as well now, you know, I mean, it's the same with Dembele. You know, these guys are coming through the kind of French elite, if you like, youth football system.
Yep.
And you know, they've been coached to play the game, you know, in a completely different way to the vast majority of British players. And they'll fit right in with what Brendan's trying to achieve.
I do find it interesting that, and I don't know whether it's he slightly irritated Brendan with his contract situation, or whether it's just straight away. Not, but I do find it interesting that Armstrong's been usurped by Incham.
Yeah.
As the partner to Scott Brown. And in fact, it was an interview with Brendan about the choice between them. And I'm paraphrasing, but he more or less said, well, obviously I'm going to pick Incham because he's a better player and he's stronger.
I think the only thing to add to that is I don't think Brendan will personalise these things too much, you know, because the emphasis all the time is on, well, how are these people performing in training? You know, and he said about the youngsters, you know, in games that matter less or are less competitive, and he said, you know, I'm not going to pick these players just to pick them. He said, I'm picking them on merit. They've got to earn the right. So that goes for Armstrong. So, and Cham has performed better than Armstrong this season.
Yeah.
You know, and when you factor in Rogic, it's going to be difficult for Armstrong, you know, to be a starter in many games. I think the other thing for me as well, leaving aside Armstrong, it actually shows that at this stage, especially if we do get Paddy Roberts in, that, you know, there's going to be very limited opportunities for Johnny Hayes.
Yes. But then Gary Mackay-Stephen was a third stroke fourth choice winger. If Hayes is now a third choice, fourth choice, stroke fourth choice winger, that would imply to me that the ability and depth of our squad has improved.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not questioning that. And I think what we're beginning to see now, and you know, everybody's been buoyed up by the introduction of the youngsters, that actually Celtic have got a pretty big squad now, and a pretty deep squad in terms of ability and capability. I'm struggling to remember a time when we, you know, we could comfortably, if you like, field two alternative teams of 11 that would probably domestically beat most of the opposition in all competitions.
Yeah, and the other thing in that regard is about his preference to bring through the youngsters. Gamboa's obviously not got a future.
No. Well, you have to say as well, like some of the players that are still technically on our books are, you know, that, you know, never going to figure. I mean, Scott Allen technically is still a Celtic player.
Yeah. So we've got our, we're at home to St Johnstone on Saturday. Back down to earth from PSG Bayern Munich to St Johnstone. We're at home to St Johnstone on Saturday. What do you think the team's going to be? How do you think it's going to go?
Well, you know, again, it may make some changes again, think things through. You know, St Johnstone, you know, I think you've got to kind of admire some of their ability, really, to be competing where they are in the SPFL. But I think we'll probably have too much for them. So I'd probably say we'll probably win by a couple of goals, and I don't think we'll concede anything.
Okay, because this is one of the things that always gets me about the way the transfer window is. The transfer window finishes next week, and it's an international break. I always find it really odd. You sign a player and then you can't play him for 10 days, 2 weeks.
I know. I'd forgotten actually that the international break was coming up, and I saw somebody commenting on it. I think it was earlier this week. You know, God, your heart just sinks. International football. God,
the season's just started, and then they go for
this. I know. It's just the timing is just all wrong, and you know, I think, you know, regardless of Celtic, I think so many football supporters just get totally deflated by, even if they like international football, they get totally deflated by the timing of these games and how much of the domestic programme is kind of missing because of when they play those games.
I suppose it stretches the length of time that Pedro Coutinho will be Rangers boss by another week.
Give them the opportunity to say some more outlandish things.
Yeah, so we're going to beat St Johnstone by a couple of goals on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, with that, Hull Boy, I will say cheers and good night.
Cheers, Harry. Speak soon.
Speak soon.
Happy with that?
Yeah, it's a hard draw. I mean, you were going to get that in the Champions League, so looking forward.
Were they teams that you thought that when you woke up this morning, I really fancy playing them?
Nah, a few people asked me over the yesterday and that, who do you want? But I had no preferences, and I was just, you know, you've got to get a tough group, so you're just looking to do well now.
Everyone we've spoken to in the build-up to this has said anyone but Barcelona. Was that pretty much what you were thinking as well?
No, Barcelona are obviously a great team, but Celtic have just been wanting to get them in the group stages, so I think a few of the fans and that were wanting something different, and that's what they've got, so they'll be happy.
On paper, realistically, what do you think you can achieve in this group?
Yeah, you're always confident. There's no reason why not. We're there for a reason. We've done well in the qualifiers to get here, so we'll go in there confident. We'll work hard in the training ground and we'll do our best.
The top two seeds, Bayern and PSG, they would fancy the chances of winning this competition. So is that as good a level tester as you can get, if you can get something off it?
Yeah, of course. You see what happened last year at Man City. They're looking to win tournaments like that, and we drew with them twice. So it gives us confidence. Last year was a first tester for the Champions League football for a lot of us, and it's good experience going into this season.
How much better are you now, 12 months on, do you think?
Yeah, I think we've came a long way. As soon as the gaffer came in, there was qualifiers, so it's hard to do that in your first season, and we got through it. This season there was another few hard qualifiers we got through, and as I said, we look forward to these big games. It's great for the football club and great for Scottish football.
Celtic had Bayern Munich and Anderlecht in their group, as well as the French champions, which were then Lyon in 2003, 2004. Is that too long ago for you to
remember anything of that?
Aye, probably just too long. I'd have been six or seven, so yeah, I was a lot younger then.
But the prospect of playing Bayern Munich and PSG, I suppose, particularly the two of them giants of the game at the moment, must be really mouth-watering for you.
Yeah, that's what you want as a footballer. You're in the biggest tournament there is, so to go out there and play against the best is what you want to do. And everybody at Celtic's buzzing off Champions League football again. The club's absolutely delighted with it. It's great for everyone.
Olivier was just saying that he thinks the PSG fans will look at Celtic as maybe an easy game. Is that maybe a good chance for Celtic to maybe take advantage of complacency, you know, among these teams?
Yeah, you don't know if they'll be complacent at all, because everybody knows what Celtic Park's like, everybody knows the atmosphere. We're under no illusion that we're going to do our best, we'll work hard, as I said. So we'll be looking to do well every game we can and take what we can.
Is your chum, Paddy Roberts, going to be back for the ride?
I hope so. There's obviously been a lot of speculation, but nothing's done yet, but I hope there's.
He's not been in touch with you, has he?
Yeah, I've been
seeing you. What's that?
Nah, I've been speaking to him, and there's obviously jokes going on social media, which we sent each other, which is good and it's funny. But yeah, I hope he is.
You're going to be going up against Neymar again. You're obviously injured, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. When you know during the part of obviously last year's group stage, but he's now worth £200 million. The fact when I mean when he comes here, it'll probably be pretty crazy. But on the pitch, how do you handle someone like that?
Yeah, you just need to do your kind of normal job. You defend as well as you can. They obviously know the top class players you'll be coming up against. But kind of you don't want to go in nervous with it or any fear at all. You just need to go in, do what you always do, and try your best.
You mentioned previous European ties. What do you think you've learned personally from kind of past ties that you can take into this season?
Yeah, well, every kind of European game, especially the qualifiers, is big pressure. When you want to get in the Champions League, so they're big pressure games. And we dealt with that. We got in the Champions League again, and I think just the more big pressure games, the bigger games you do, even like semi-finals, cup finals, and that you do, you get more experience for the group stages and times like this.
And obviously, you've got Bayern and PSG. How much do you think? How much do you know personally about likes of Anderlecht?
Yeah, I don't know too much. I've not had the chance with your tournament there, so it's something I'm sure as a team and that we'll look into when the time's coming. So.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you.
Olivier, you got your wish. PSG, happy?
Yes, very, very happy and very exciting.
Was that the team you wanted?
Yeah. I said to my friend before, I hope you're going to play against PSG.
Neymar, how much do you fancy playing against him?
I think it's always good to play against a big player like this, so it's good.
Do you think this is a group that Celtic could qualify from?
I want to say maybe, because everything can happen in football. So,
is it the most realistic thing, perhaps Europa League, or do you have to aim for Champions League qualification?
For me, it's a Champions League qualification, because I think it's not the same Champions League and Europa League.
What about Anderlecht? We know Bayern Munich and PSG are huge clubs. Anderlecht, you think Celtic can take points from them?
Maybe, but I don't know, because when you play a game, it's a game, so everything can happen. So maybe we're going to win, maybe we're going to lose, I don't know.
But these are the games that you signed for Celtic to play in. Yeah, the Champions League is why you're here.
Yeah, it was my first target when I came here. So I'm very, very happy for that.
Excited about
a lot.
Can you tell us how the people in France will be looking towards PSG playing against Celtic? What they will think about that coming to Celtic?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know, but I think for the fans of Paris, for them they're going to think it's easy game for them, I think. But in Champions League we don't have easy game.
You think PSG will think Celtic will have an easy game against them?
The fan, yeah. Not the fans. Players. Yeah. Maybe. Because I'm supporter Paris as well, so that's fine.
Apart from Neymar, who is obviously attracting all the headlines right now at PSG, you know, who are your favourite players there? Who are you looking forward to playing against?
Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo, but yeah. we're not in the same pool, but for me. But now it's just Neymar.
Yeah. I think in PSG.
Yeah.
Within, il veut juste dans l'équipe du PSG.
Ah, il veut juste
à part Neymar, est-ce qu'il y a d'autres joueurs contre lesquels vous avez hâte de jouer?
Against everyone, because I think if you play in this club, that means you big player, come.
They've got a great team now. Verratti maybe in midfield. He's going to be someone you will tussle with in midfield.
Yes, I think.
Okay, magnifique. Thank you. She was just 17, you know what I mean. And the way she looked is way beyond your pale. How could I dance with a girl when I saw her stand? I hope you enjoyed the podcast. There, of course, will be more along soon. If you are wanting to register for the Celtic FC Foundation Sleepout, then go online to the Celtic FC Foundation website and you can sleep out in November, raising money for the foundation and also sleeping in the ground, which will be hosting Champions League football for yet another year here in Glasgow. Anyway, enough of me. That was Hullboy, KT, Chris Davis and Olivier and Cham. This is a podcast from CelticUnderground.net. I'm Harry Brady. We support a Champions League team. Good night and God bless. Good night.